Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE today to enroll now. Leave your contact info for someone to reach out to you today. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. You will be glad you did. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're asking the question today. It's an issue that I believe we need to discuss. Do all things become new at salvation? The scripture says in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. All things become new is the focus that we're going to have in just a moment. Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis are seated at the round table as we discuss this issue today. Being in Christ is the key to it, to be in Christ. If any man be in Christ, salvation is universal. Anyone can say yes to Jesus Christ as Savior. But to be in Christ, not talking about now, salvation is not talking about being in Islam or being in Allah or to be in Buddha or to be in a denomination, but to be in Jesus Christ. Dr. Phelps, what does it mean to be in Christ?
There are several things that I could share with you about that, but let me just mention a couple of those briefly. The Apostle Paul has the best information in his epistles. In the book of 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22, the Apostle Paul says, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." There are just 2 places or positions for anyone. You're either in Adam or you're in Christ. When we're saved, when we call upon the Lord to save us, then we become a part of Christ, and he becomes our Savior. Actually, in Ephesians chapter 2, we have the words quickened, which means made alive. When a person is saved, they're made alive spiritually in Christ. And that's the first thing that we want to make sure of, and that is that we are alive in Christ. We have a new life in Christ. Everlasting life is the gift of God to those who believe on the Son of God. When we receive God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we become the children of God, sons and daughters of God, according to John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13.
That's right.
Jesus told a very religious man by the name of Nicodemus, "Except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." So it's very necessary that we have the experience that we call being born again. And that's how God brings to us eternal life. It's simply stated, when we are in Christ, it means that we are made alive by our connection with him. He brings to my life and to the life of every believer his life.
His life.
It's his life. It's not just a thing. It's life.
That's right.
In Christ.
Absolutely.
But you know, Dr. Youngblood, I'm stirred now. Praise God. I have to ask individuals from time to time, you tell me that you have Christ, but does Christ have you? Do you really have Christ the way that you think that you have him, and does he have you? Now, what do I mean by that? When Christ has you, now, your love for the world will begin to wax cold. The things, the ways, the habits, the things that the people do out in the world, you want to depart from that when you learn about the great things that's in Christ. Absolutely. Now listen, what Christ has, listen, he's got this for the church. But we're not talking about the local church that's on the corner.
That's right.
Because even if you are in the church, you can't receive what you have, what Christ has for you, until you connect up with the universal body of Christ. Now,
that's
being in Christ, here, I got it, it signifies a believer's union with him through faith, and it also signifies a radical transformation.
That's the key.
Amen.
Now, when that radical transformation takes place, once again, I want to speak to everybody, amen, that has certain problems with certain things. You say, well, sometimes people say, man, you're judging me. You know, maybe I haven't gotten there yet. I realize that. Some people have to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We all do. We all have to do that. But again, when it comes down to still partaking of the things of the past life and partaking of the things that's connected with the new life that Christ has for you, be sure and very sure that you're saved.
Amen. That's the reason in this text, Dr. Davis says, he is a new creature.
Amen.
A new creature. It's a new birth, a new relationship, a new creature. And that's what Nicodemus, as Dr. Phelps spoke of a moment ago, that's what Jesus is speaking about when he said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. I believe we have Santiago on the line. Go with the question or comment, please.
That's right. We're a new creation. Like in the beginning, we God create, but when we become to Christ, we become a new creation. That's right. In Romans 8, they say, no condemnation who those in the same place that in. We're supposed to be in, right. Meaning that word,
in Christ.
That inside. Right. That's the thing. And in like in 2 Corinthians, I think it's 4, we have the reflection is looking into the mirror of God. We have to be holy in ourselves. That's my comment.
You're correct, Santiago. Thank you so much for that addition to the broadcast today. The key to it is we're a new creation. If we said yes to Jesus Christ, we're in Christ. He is a new creature, the scripture says. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you today?
Doing great. I'm glad that you are.
Jim.
Doing good. Paul, I can't recall the verse, but Paul did say that of his previous life that he counted all as dung.
Philippians.
And
Philippians, yep. The third chapter, verse 10 and following.
Yes. So, what I want to ask you gentlemen to speak of is the consequence of sin, and I'll give an example of this, will still be with you after you've been saved. Let's say I commit a crime and I'm in prison and I become saved. I still have to serve my penance or sentence for the crimes that I've committed. Now, when I was saved... You can ask Dr. Davis there. I've told him I wasn't a good person. I wasn't a good person at all. I had a lot of issues. And I can tell you that the spiritual freeing through the belief in the, or through my Savior Jesus Christ allowed me to overcome a horrible situation. But it didn't free me from the consequence of the sin that I had my life up to that point.
What say you, Dr. Phelps?
I would like to suggest or insert something else along with that. Maybe this is the answer to what is being asked here. In the book of Romans, chapter 6 and chapter 8, we believe that when we are saved, then Jesus frees us from the dominion or the control of sin.
Bondage.
He said, Amen. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And so I gather from Romans chapter 8 that I am free to serve the Lord. I don't have to serve sin anymore.
That's right.
Not, that's my comment.
Not into bondage to that. Yes. Absolutely.
And then here's what Paul said in Romans chapter 6 and verse 20 and 21. Well, we can go on down to 20, 21, 22, and 23. Romans 6. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. Mm-hmm. And this is the one that stands out. 21. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Okay, now that verse 21 is speaking now to the past life. What things did you do now that you're in Christ, and you look back at those things that you did that was bringing you to have to pay the penalty for those sins, which is death? Because when you get down to verse 23, he said the wages of sin is death.
Yes.
But okay, now, the thing that you did, what things can you look back at in the old life whereof you can now glory or be satisfied or take any pleasure in now that you have come to Christ and you have learned all about this great love and this great sacrifice that he's made for you?
Absolutely. That's the reason, Dr. Davis and Jim, I'll run this by you. As I've said before, as I'm looking at the verse, salvation is universal. If any man be in Christ, salvation is unique, being in Christ, not being in a denomination, not being in a particular religion, not being in Allah, etc. Salvation is unnatural. He is a new creature. That's the unusual, unnatural thing. It is a new creature, new man, new woman, new boy, new girl. Here's the key. Old things are passed away. So the question, Jim, that I ask people, and this is what's being asked in the text, old things, the old lifestyle, the old habits, the old places that you'd go, the old communication, even the old friends that you used to hang out with, your past is gone. Old things are passed away. It's given over to the new creation in Christ Jesus.
And then can I say this too, Dr. Youngblood? The old love that you used to have for things, that's gone. You got a new love now.
Absolutely.
You got a brand new love.
New desire.
In Christ. So you shouldn't have the love for those things that you had in the past.
The scripture says in this verse, behold.
Amen.
Look intently and see.
Amen.
All things are become new.
Amen.
Jim, what say you?
I would agree with that.
Amen.
With 100, I consider it all dung.
That's right.
I consider it an embarrassing part of my past, but it's not a past I want to go near.
Amen. Ever.
Amen. And then remember, Brother Jim, I mean, even now, yes, I mean, we still have to. We don't have to give an account for anything in the past life. If Christ has forgiven you, he's taken all that upon himself.
Nailed on the cross.
Amen. So now, listen, you may be going through some of the repercussions. I understand what you're saying. You know, there were some, let's say, some bad decisions that you might have made that you think, right now you're going through some things because of the bad decisions. But you have to understand that once Christ forgives you for those things, you're not suffering for anything in the past anymore. All of your sins, past, present, and future, are forgiven. They're covered under the blood.
Amen. Amen. Dr. Phelps, what say you?
Well, one of the great things I learned from reading the book of Ephesians chapter 1 mm-hmm. is that we are sanctified.
That's right.
The word is hagios in the original language, which means set apart to serve God. Believers are made saints.
Right.
We know that the Roman church makes their saints,
mm-hmm.
and usually it's those who are already deceased, when someone is officially recognized by the bishops for their holiness of life or some spiritual eminence. For example, there were some children who were being considered for sainthood because they reportedly had seen the Virgin Mary.
Mm-hmm.
I fail to understand how that merits being made a saint. But anyway, Rome makes their saints of deceased people. But when you read the Apostle Paul's letters to the churches, he was addressing those letters to living saints.
That's right.
Amen.
And so that means that believers are saints. They're sanctified. I was unholy, but now in Christ, I'm a saint.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And this is what he said in Romans 6:22. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life.
Amen.
So there it is again.
Amen. Amen. I believe we have Terry on the line. Go ahead, Terry, with your question or comment, please.
Hey, how are you? Oh, you gentlemen. I believe that when we get saved, we are new creatures in Christ. And sometimes, well, not sometimes, but I believe in sanctification too, that we have to put more of the word inside of us, because we can be like a lawn that has just been mowed, but the root is still underground. And it still be there, so that when things do pop up, we as Christians sometimes become weak and don't believe that we have been completely saved. No, there'll be trials and tribulations. Paul, he even suffered some of the things that he had allowed to happen to other Christians. But I believe that the Word of God will keep us on the right path, because we have to know truth, and the truth will set us free, and we're able to serve Christ as we should. No, we aren't perfect, but we're on our way to glory.
Amen.
If that makes sense.
Amen. It does, Terry. One of the things that I am wanting us to emphasize from this one text today, where the Scripture says, behold, all things are become new. The point that I like to make with that, Terry, is if you've got something new, for example, you get a new pair of shoes, you're not resoling, you're not putting a new sole on the old shoes, you're not putting a new set of heels on the old shoes, you've got a new pair of shoes. Old things have become new, and that's what it ought to be in the Christian life. If we've said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, we have a new want to. We have a new desire. We want to study the Bible. We want to be in church. We want to have our goal and our ambition ought to be to please the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a new hope, and that is that place called heaven. We don't want to drink. We don't want to drink. We don't want to curse. We do not want to go to the bars and the lounges and hang out where we, i.e., some lost, would do. That's the new thing. The new thing that we find is, behold, look intently and see all, not some, not part, but all things are become new. Dr. Phelps, take a moment. Terry, by the way, thank you so much for your call, and God bless you as we keep looking up. Dr. Phelps, would you explain that a little further about, behold, all things have become new? What does that connote?
I think it means that every Christian, everyone who's listening today, if you have put your faith and trust in Jesus, there's a new lifestyle to live.
That's right.
We believe that it's talking about a new way to live. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6 says that we're to walk as Jesus walked. A new lifestyle is that of being renewed in the likeness of Christ. We're instructed to behave as He behaved. We're made in the image of Christ, and we should also resemble Him in our Christian behavior. Colossians chapter 2 says, as you have therefore received Christ, then walk ye in Him. We believe the Bible's teaching us that there's a new lifestyle for us to live.
Amen.
And the Lord helps us with that. It's impossible for me.
Absolutely.
But it's possible with God in my life.
Amen.
God helps me through His Word, and God helps me through His inward presence by His Holy Spirit in my life.
Let me insert this question, Dr. Phelps, for a moment, and then I want Dr. Davis to speak on this question. But if we old things become new, we've got a new hunger, a new desire. We want to study the Word. We want to depend on the Lord. And then as you touched on, that doesn't mean that we are perfect, but we're depending on the Lord. Yeah. And it's through His Word that gives us that faith and trust in Him. Dr. Davis, what say you?
Well, Dr. Youngblood, we have to realize God is not going to make us do anything.
That's right.
He gave us new life. We need to do something with it. We have a choice to make. Just like He gave Adam and Eve a choice, they chose evil. If you choose good, then of course He's going to give you the power to do good.
That's right.
The power to do good comes through the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Now, He said in Romans 6 and 11, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Have you considered that? Have you considered that you, your old man, the old nature, the old works are supposed to be dead? Mm-hmm. Now listen, let's understand it. Let's make sure we know this. We're still human. We still have this body. This body still got the old nature, but God gave you a new nature that will overcome the old through the power of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
So now if you don't yield over to the Spirit and let the Spirit cause you to walk in the Word, Romans 8 said that if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the desires of the flesh.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Go ahead, Dr. Phelps.
May I add this? The problem with most of us, you just think about it. Most of us simply ignore this privilege we have of allowing the Holy Spirit
Amen.
To guide and direct our lives.
Amen. Absolutely. Amen. And Absolutely. That's where we fail. That's the reason why these old habits pop back up. You still feeding the old man. Mm-hmm. The one that you feed the most, that's the one that's going to dominate.
That's right.
So if you feed the new man, that's the reason why the Scripture encourages us always to stay in the Word of God. When you feed that new man becomes more and more alive unto Christ each and every day, because the power of the Holy Spirit is allowing us to overcome the wages of sin, which is death.
Absolutely. This is the reason Colossians 3:9 says this: lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man
Amen.
With his deeds.
Yeah.
Amen.
Dr. Phelps, continue the thought of what we have as a new creation. The Scripture says in that 5th chapter and the 17th verse of 2 Corinthians that we are become new. Behold, all things are become new. What are some of the things that's new for the Christian?
Well, actually, we have a new fellowship. Mm-hmm. And it's in Christ, we have a better mediator, a better high priest than they had under the law. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of better things, but especially a better fellowship.
Amen.
We can draw nigh to God in Jesus' name. Fellowship takes on a new dimension in the Christian life, for our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And this fellowship is because, and I want you to listen now, it's because Jesus is now set down at the right hand of God.
Amen.
And He makes it possible for us to draw nigh to God. We have a better high priest than they did when they lived under the law and had Aaron as his priest.
Amen.
By the way, Aaron's dead.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's right.
Our high priest is going to live forever.
Alive forevermore.
Amen.
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 Dr. Phelps, I'm looking at Ephesians 2:10. For we are His workmanship. That word workmanship is polema, His created thing of beauty, His poem, if you will, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
Amen.
That
Amen.
Is walking in the good works that
Amen.
He has saved us to do. Dr. Davis, what say you when we think about the fact that the Scripture says, behold, all things are become new? What does it mean, all things are become new?
Well, according to what you just read, He's already delegated us,
yes.
if I can put it in that mm-hmm. way. He's delegated us the authority to walk in His Word.
That's right.
He didn't give us the Holy Spirit just for the Spirit just to be there as nothing. He gave us the Holy Spirit so that we could live as sons and daughters of God. Mm-hmm. There are things that we have to do. I'm still in this book of Romans, chapter 6 and verse 12 said, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof." Mm-hmm. That didn't tell me that God wouldn't let sin reign in our bodies. He's telling us not to let sin.
That's right.
So now why is he saying that? If you tap into the power that he's already supplied you with, which is the Holy Spirit, you can do it. So listen, if he's given you new life, don't mess this one up.
That's right.
We had the old life, old mistakes, old habits. We made bad decisions. Mm-hmm. We had a bad life in the past. But if you come to Christ now, he said, "Behold, look at this very closely. Mm-hmm. All things. You have new love, a new way of living, a new access, a new way to get to God." Like Dr. Phelps just got finished saying, we don't need a high priest now, even though we have him then. He's making intercession.
Amen.
But now you can go for yourself.
Amen. And
praise
Ephesians 4:24 says, "And that ye put on a new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness."
Amen.
Talk about that, Dr. Phelps.
The new life that we have in Christ is made possible by the help of the Spirit of God within me. Way back in the Old Testament, there's a verse in we read, the prophet said, "Not by might nor by power," that means not by human might or worldly power, "but by my Spirit, saith the Lord."
Amen.
He's the one who enables us. We have the promise of God in the Word of God that the Spirit of God will help us in our Christian life. Let's commit things to God, and let's allow the Spirit of God to be our helper.
Amen.
God's given us many things to help us. See, God is on our side. He wants us to be successful in our Christian life.
Amen. And don't let the devil deceive you with a guilt trip.
That's right. Oh, he likes to use that as a cudgel to beat someone down.
Amen. That you still got to pay for the old sins. Yes. You know, we have a lot of things connected to the old life that we are probably would be ashamed of right now. Mm-hmm. But again, we have to remember, old things are passed away. That's covered under the blood. And all things that God has given us are brand new.
Absolutely. In fact, in Galatians 6:15, the scripture says we become a whole new creation in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So, ladies and gentlemen, as we talk about being new, that new creation, we have a new life in Christ. We have a new name. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. We're Christians. We're his sons and daughters in Christ. We have a new inheritance. We have a new covenant. We have that new fellowship and walking with the Lord Jesus Christ each day. Dr. Phelps, got about 8 seconds. Go ahead.
There's a promise in the Bible in Revelation 2:17. Jesus said, "To him that overcometh will I grant to eat of the hid manna, and I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth save he that receive it."
Amen.
There's a promise of a new name.
Amen.
What does that mean? It means that when I get to heaven and you and I meet up together, if you ask me what's my name, I'll reach in my pocket and I'll get that stone and I will say,
"Say, here I am."
Praise God.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Look forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly 9 to 10 for expository preaching on 91.